Anyways, we just finished watching a documentary of a bunch of people recovering from drugs. And I think it's an epidemic in the States that people graduate from using prescribed medicine to abusing like hardcore drugs, right?
Well, I don't even think that there's a graduating level. I think it's just
straight up addiction to opioids.
Yeah, the statistic was like every minute, like 6 people are overdosing in the States right now, and of that, it's like 70-something% are all prescription opioids. It's like not even heroin that's the one that's killing the most people. It's the prescription drugs.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are the different types of prescription drugs that are that make people addicted to?
Oh, I think if so, with the correct personality, I think you can get addicted to anything. You
know? Right, but the so there's opioids?
Yeah, opioids. And then you have, obviously, your antidepressants.
Antidepressants.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty much the two that people are mostly addicted to.
Right. You know? So what are opioids?
Opioids is any medication or drug that's derived from, like, poppy plants, like opium.
So basically very, very strong painkillers.
Yeah, and I think opioids specifically refers to opium that has been turned into like a medical use.
Right.
Like opioid is, when I hear opioid, I just think pills, and I might be wrong about that.
So what kind of medications are there that are opioids? Like oxycodone?
Vicodin, oxycodone, OxyContin, Tylenol 3, I think, has opiates in it. I don't know. Like, all kinds of
different ones.
Yeah.
So you are about to have a surgery on your hand.
Yeah.
And what is it that you are about to have a surgery for?
They're removing a cyst that is growing on my tendon, on my middle finger.
Okay, so what is a cyst?
I don't really know. Like a mass of something that your body messed up and it starts growing.
Isn't
something.
It like a calcium buildup around your saline syringe?
Yeah, well, they're not sure they can't diagnose what it is until they get it open. But she said it can be a couple of different things. It can be like a buildup of calcium from like your tendon being crushed or ruptured, or it can just be like a fluid filled sac, something like some kind of just like clear sanguineous fluid.
Right.
And
interesting.
Yeah.
So my husband Dedicus basically has this little knob thing on the base of his middle finger, and did it grow?
Yeah, it just kind of was there one day.
You know? And they kept growing. Larger,
and it got
larger.
Bigger and bigger, and then I ruptured it, and then it came back, and it got even bigger than it used to be, and now they're finally just going to cut it out.
Yes, so he was really large, and you put too much of a force on it that it actually
popped, got ruptured. Like it got crushed. Yeah.
Right, and then it regrew, and now it has come back. So he, or you, decided to have a surgery to have it removed, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the surgery is going to be like?
So according to the orthopedic surgeon, they're going to cut from somewhere on the palm of my hand, somewhere around at the base of my wrist or on the palm of my hand, basically all the way up to the middle or somewhere of my middle finger. Right. And they're going to, I guess, cut the tendon and try to remove this piece out from the tendon and then reattach the tendon or something. That's how she kind of explained it to me.
Right, right. So. And she mentioned that surgery might be as long as might take as long as 6 hours.
Yeah, well, she said a lot, 4 to 6 hours for the surgery, and then that's with no complications.
That's with just no complications.
Because it's a pretty, like, it's there's a lot of stuff going on in there, and I guess it's a pretty tedious process to open the hand up.
Yeah. So he is basically going to have his hand cut open, and that's going to be a pretty major surgery. It's certainly not going to be the first time you've had a surgery, correct?
Yeah, no.
This is pretty nerve-wracking to me and to you too, obviously, I think.
Well, it's scary because I'm a lefty and it's on my left hand. And if there's any, you know, there's any surgery has complications or can have complications. But if, like, my tendon gets messed up, then obviously my left hand is going to turn into a claw or something.
Yeah, and you no longer be able to like do anything with your left hand, and that would be a major inconvenience to you because you're lefty, like you mentioned.
Yeah, that'd be not cool.
Right. So you just went into the medical appointment today.
I did.
It was like a pre-consultation.
My pre-surgery appointment.
Pre-surgery appointment, and they have already prescribed you some medications for post-surgery, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of medication did they give you?
They gave me, oxycodone, which is an opiate, and they gave me a bunch of Tylenol just in case for after the oxycodone runs out, and then they gave me some kind of like a Valium, like a basically a downer pill, like it's
to calm your nerves,
calm your nerves, and I have a couple of those, and then they gave me a stool softener because when you take opiates, it causes you to get pretty stopped up in your digestive system,
like constipated.
Yes.
Okay, so I started recording our conversation because it was taking a pretty interesting turn, because Atticus, my husband, is refusing to take the painkiller, the opioids.
Opiates, yeah.
Oxycodone, because he has an experience with oxycodone.
Just with opiates in general.
Opioids. Yeah. Not that he was abusing it or anything, of course, but he did have a surgery, 2 years ago?
Yeah, in 2015.
Oh, actually, so yeah, that was way back.
Three years ago.
Yes, he broke his clavicle, which is a collarbone.
It was in 9 pieces.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was broken into 9 pieces, so... you actually have a titanium plate.
Yep, I have a 8-inch plate and 10 screws, or I don't know how many screws I have.
So he's a cyborg, basically. when you had the surgery on your collarbone, they gave you some opioids, right?
Yes.
And you were on it for how long?
They wanted me on it for a lot longer, but I think I spent... either 2 or 3 days, they had me on morphine, and then they had me on, like, I was on a morphine drip, and then I was on Vicodin, and oxycodone, and Valium, and pretty much every bad pill that you can even imagine, and I think I did 2 days, and then I just took myself off it. They wanted me on it, I think it was for 2 weeks, on most of the pills, and I told my surgeon that I wasn't going to take any of that stuff anymore.
Right, so instead of self-medicating yourself, you demedicating yourself pretty much.
Yeah.
He stopped taking those medication because why was that?
It was just I didn't know where I was, you know. I was having periods where I would just drift off and be asleep, you know, and I would wake up and like 12 hours after I fell asleep and not know where I was and just kind of drift off back to sleep and then wake up again like the next day. And I didn't know where I was or what my name was for, like, you know, the whole first day. And it was just a really bad experience. And so I just stopped taking all of it.
Right.
And I still have it as a reminder.
Yeah, we actually do have some leftover from the surgery.
Yeah.
In our medicine cabinet. So based on that experience, you don't want to take any more opioids and experience the same, unclear state of mind?
That feeling, yeah. No, right. Just the feeling, you know. I just really don't like that, over-the-edge feeling, you know. Like, it's the same reason I don't really drink any alcohol, I guess. But when I go into my surgery on Wednesday next week, you know, I'm going to have an IV and everything when I do that, and I can't really control what they put into me then, but I'm 100% certain I will not be taking any painkillers at the end of that.
Right, except for the ibuprofen.
Yeah, I'll take a little bit of, like, headache medication, like Tylenol or something.
Right.
But as far as, like, the opiates go and stuff,
I'm not... they did give you some ibuprofen, right?
They did,
right?
Okay. Yes.
So we were discussing about this because I want my husband Atticus to take some medication or painkiller after the surgery because I know that sometimes when body is enduring a great amount of pain, that can slow the process of healing because body is using so much energy into you know, just dealing with pain, basically. Just like the epidural that people use for giving births. Some studies say that when you use epidural for births, women tend to, like, you know, heal faster than natural births. And I understand that there are a lot of different opinions about that. But I just basically don't want my husband to go through an unnecessary pain. So, what do you think?
You still don't want to? I obviously appreciate that you don't want me to go through unnecessary pain, you know. But, yeah, I just, like we were talking about earlier, I don't really like the idea of just trying to numb myself to death,
mm-hmm.
just to try to get out of experiencing a little bit of, you know, human nature. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I respect your opinion.
Yeah.
But, and all that, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all for, like, taking care of yourself as, you know, health-wise, and also be very conscious about the intake of whatever you consume, like whether it's food or a chemical or medication. And I try to, you know, not take much medication, but I do take some ibuprofen from time to time for my headaches because I do get migraines. But other than that, I try to avoid chemicals as much as possible. So what do you think the reasonings behind the people getting addicted to opioids?
Yeah, well, I mean, just like I don't want to numb the pain away, you know, I think that people do want to numb the pain away, most people. And I think they get addicted to being able to do that, you know, just like on the documentaries we've watched and stuff, and, you know, people that I know in real life that they tend to have issues going on in their lives, and, you know, they find an escape in being able to do that. And it's the same as it starts, you know, you hear about the kids who got a knee injury when they were in eighth grade and got prescribed Vicodin, and then all of a sudden they were addicted to popping pills, and it's because they were able to numb themselves out of reality, and for a little while, it's okay while you're doing that, and then, you know, all of a sudden you develop an emotional habit or an addiction, and then, yeah, that's, to me, that's why people get addicted, you know, and it's, yeah, kind of like a disease, you know, so.
So do you think it has something to do with the way they were brought up, or the environment that they grew up in, or the influence that they received from the people, they were surrounded by?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can, absolutely. I think for some people that's probably the answer. You know, they watched their parents pop pills, and their dad was an alcoholic, and their aunt was a heroin addict forever, and then obviously, you know. But I don't think that's like just an easy way out for a lot of people to just say that's why they are the way they are. And I think that they don't want to admit that they have some stability issues, and they have an emotional dependency on numbing themselves out of reality, you know.
Right.
Yeah, for a lot of, and I don't have an issue with, like, smoking weed at all. Most of my friends smoke weed, and that's totally fine. It's legal here in Washington. Mm-hmm. You can just walk down to the corner store and buy weed, you know.
Oh, yes, but, it is.
But at the same time, for a lot of people that I know, that's reality for them, too, is they smoke a ton of weed to try and, you know, to try and escape for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's particularly healthy either. You know?
Right.
And just the same as why I don't think that alcoholism is healthy. I think it's the same thing.
Right. So here's an interesting fact about the place we live, which is Washington State in the United States. Here in Washington, recreational use of marijuana is legal.
Completely legal.
Meaning that you can just walk into a marijuana shop and get some weed and just smoke some off.
Smoke some off.
Right. But there is obviously some, you know, limits to which you can purchase, right?
No, you can go buy a pound if that's what you want to do. There's no limit.
Really?
Yeah, you can buy as much as you want. Yeah.
Didn't they have a limit, like, when they first legalized it, though?
I don't think they did.
Okay, we'll look into that.
Yeah. I was here.
Tax is always right.
No, I was here right when they passed the law. Mm. That's right when I got stationed in Bremerton. And, yeah, it was just, at the beginning, they only allowed a certain number of stores to obtain business license to be able to sell it. Because, you know, they had, like, something ridiculous, like 540,000 applicants for a business license to sell marijuana.
Everybody just wants to sell marijuana.
They ended up only selecting, like, 10 or 12 stores or something initially. And,
I wonder what the regulations are like for, you know.
Probably no different than a liquor license, you know. You just got to make sure that you're within city limits and that you have the proper running water and a sanitary restroom. I don't know.
So what other states allow marijuana to be recreationally used? I know Colorado for sure.
Yeah, Colorado. Yeah, I don't know if it's the same as it is in Washington, if it's just completely open and free. I'm not 100% sure. I know California is trying. I think New Hampshire just passed something, or either New Hampshire or Virginia or something. And I don't know.
We're still the, like,
we're still the minority. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so earlier you mentioned that you don't really have a big of a problem with people that smoke weed.
No, not at all.
Which is marijuana.
Yeah,
but you choose not to.
Well,
right?
I can't, I mean, for my job.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he's in the Navy, United States Navy. So, well, thank you for your service, by the way. And so, no substance use.
Yeah, no mind-altering substances.
Is allowed in the military service.
We get drug tested. I've got to send guys to your analysis, which is a pee test.
Right.
Every day. I mean, five days a week, your analysis is open.
Really?
And they randomly select people from the command, and they do random drug tests. And then under certain contexts, for coming back from leave and stuff, if you take X number of days, it's standard that you need to be drug tested. When you transfer, you have to be drug tested. If there's any type of mishap where somebody crashes a forklift into an aircraft or blows themselves up, then the whole command generally will be urine tested as well.
So they're pretty thorough about the whole drug policy.
Yeah, they catch a lot of people, man.
And it's really interesting because you were earlier telling me that how some people that you met in Japan got kicked out of the Navy because they were high on bath salts.
Bath salts and K2 and salvia and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, bath salts were really bad
when
I was there.
So interesting to me because I'd never known that you could get high off of bath salts.
Well, I'm not 100% sure on this. I'm not a not a bath salt connoisseur or anything, but I don't think that bath salts is the same as literally bath salts that you would buy from like Bed Bath and Beyond. I think it's that it looks and smells the same, and I think it's chemicals from fucking China, of course. But I think that it was disguised as bath salts when it was coming into the United States initially, these really shitty chemicals that they make in China. And I think, so it just kind of kept the name as bath salts. Kind of like spice. Spice is like synthetic marijuana that originally, they were telling us in the Navy, and this was in like 2010 or 2009, that like spice is basically potpourri, which is like a scented plants that you would leave in your bathroom. And that dudes were crushing it up and smoking it. And that ended up not being the case at all. What it was is nobody actually knew what it was. And it smelled goofy. So they just assumed that it was potpourri or something. And again, it was just ended up being shitty chemicals from China.
Yeah, interesting. So, yeah, looks like that you can't just rush off to a body shop and get some bath salt and crack it up and snort it and get high off of it. But yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, but they are in, well, what's interesting about, you know, bath salts and K2 and all that stuff is that it's legal for import to the United States because the FDA has defined it as not fit for human consumption.
So what is now?
Bath salts and all the stuff we're talking about. Since it's not fit for human consumption, there's no laws regarding its use. So you can basically, I'm sure if you got caught with it in your pocket and you were high out of your mind, I'm sure you'd probably get arrested mm-hmm. if a cop found you with that or whatever. But in terms of like buying and selling it, I am pretty sure that it's not entirely illegal.
Right.
I think it's that if you're using it for that, but since it's not intended for human consumption,
mm-hmm.
it's still a marketable chemical, basically, mm-hmm. you know, just the same as buying bleach or,
oh, yeah, or paint thinner. Or,
yeah.
Yeah. that's interesting point that you just pointed out. So, through marijuana, if you weren't in the military, would you consider using it?
I don't know. I just don't really have very much interest in marijuana.
Mm.
You know, like I said, I have friends that do it, and I've been around, you know, people smoking marijuana my whole lives, and really, I have absolutely no issue with it. I just don't think it's for me. Just like, I could go get a 30 rack of beer and drink it if I wanted to, but I've never done that a single time in my life. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, just don't really have very much interest.
Right. So would you mind sharing the reasonings behind it? Why you're not really, like, interested in consuming alcohol or even smoking marijuana?
Yeah, I just, you know, don't like the feeling of not having a totally clear head. And I don't know, I guess maybe people would call me uptight or whatever, but it's just not a good time to me. You know, right. I can have a fine time just in my current state. You know, I don't really...
Yeah, we do get high off of chocolate pretty often.
Yeah, I get pretty chocolate wasted. But no, I mean, it just... I'm just not interested. I don't understand people's draw to it. You know, mm-hmm. it's like houseflies getting stuck on flypaper, you know? I really don't understand. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, why is everybody so obsessed with this?
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
But it is interesting that in Washington State, the way that it is here, it's almost like underage drinking, like when we were all back in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so cool if you were able to underage drink, and it's just because you were out there breaking the law. Man, you know? And now that they've legalized it in Washington, I feel like people just aren't interested. And now everybody's just moved to heroin in Washington.
Because it's illegal.
Because it's boring to do weed now. It's too mainstream, it's man. It's too mainstream,
not cool.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah,
all that stuff is just not for me.
Yeah. And I share the same view. I don't drink, or I don't smoke weed, at all, because one, I don't have high tolerance for alcohol, and two, when I do consume alcohol, I just turned like bright red.
Yeah.
And that is very humiliating to me. That's like, screaming out to the whole entire world that I'm wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just not cool with me. And I do not like watching other people getting wasted and like doing some irresponsible things or very stupid
all
things.
That twerking and
yes, and being very loud and not being very, you know, conscious of their surroundings and just like stupid things like that in general.
Yeah.
So I refuse to take a part in that action. So that's why I don't drink. And for smoking weed, that's for the same reason.
Yeah.
And I did used to smoke for a little amount of time, but I don't anymore. Well, I actually did have a couple of cigarettes when I was back in Japan this May.
Yeah.
But that's only because this specific cigarettes that I used to smoke in Japan are not available in the States.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to have, you know, have a taste of it. But I'm not really addicted to cigarettes.
Yeah.
I know it sounds pretty weird to, you know, regular smokers. But yeah, so it wasn't really hard for me to stop smoking at all. After I picked it back up this May, I just came to the States and I no longer smoke at all. But yeah, you did smoke for a little bit.
Yeah, I smoked for a couple of years and I kind of will do this thing. And I have a weird relationship with smoking. I don't think that I would even mildly consider myself to have been addicted to smoking at all. I would smoke on deployments, you know, for a couple months at a time. And then as soon as we would come home, I wouldn't really smoke anymore. Or I'll do this thing, like I'll smoke for like 4 months or 5 months, and then just one day I'm just like, yeah, done with that for a while, and I just won't smoke. Like, it's been a couple months since I've had a cigarette, and I don't know, I don't really have an issue with
it. I think it's been longer than a couple of months since you had it.
I'd like to have a, you know, if I'm out, like, with a bunch of friends and stuff, and or, I don't know, like, I did smoke at the end of one of our soccer games, actually.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Franco and, you know, and Griot and everybody were smoking, and I was like, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll just have a cigarette. So, yeah. I guess I have smoked recently, like, a cigarette, but I'll just smoke one, and then I don't have to, I don't smoke regularly.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm just not
into it,
you know?
Exactly the same way. I like that social smoking.
Yeah, yeah,
like
absolutely.
Occasional smoking.
Yeah.
You go out with your friends, and, you know, they burn one out, and you just be like, you know, oh, can I have one, or can I bum one, you know, that'd be a fun, just fun little thing. To share with your friends or whatever. And I do appreciate the social aspect of smoking. Like, so when I was working back in Japan, I, like, quickly made some friends at a new workplace because I would go out to have a cigarette and, you know, you'll familiarize yourself with other people that smoke.
Yeah, you have that in common.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, it'll be easier for you to strike up a conversation while you're on a smoking break.
Yeah.
Or, so that was a fun experience. But yeah, you don't like itch to get a cigarette.
No,
right?
Not at all. And that's the other thing too, is I'm sure that nicotine has an effect on everybody who smokes cigarettes. And I don't know if this is everybody's experience or not, but I am just not conscious of what the effect of nicotine is. You know, I don't smoke a cigarette and then I'm like, man, I feel so much better.
Right, right.
I just smoke a cigarette just to go out and talk to the people that I hang out with or that I work with, and that's pretty much the extent of it. I don't feel better, or if I smoke a cigarette and then I don't smoke a cigarette again for another 6 days, I don't feel like I need to smoke. I just don't.
You don't
really
feel the physical effect.
Get anything from it.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm actually very confused about hookah for that exact reason. When I tried hookah, to my understanding, it doesn't contain any nicotine, right?
Oh, I'm sure it contains nicotine.
It does?
Yeah, a massive amount.
Huh. I thought it was like mist, basically, like mist pipe.
Also, what I actually just learned the other day was, because my senior chief is really into smoking hookah, and he was showing me that the, what is it? Shisha, I think, is the kind of tobacco that goes in for hookah, and it's like 326% more tar. Shisha than there is in just like normal cigarette.
Yeah,
it's pretty gnarly, dude.
It doesn't taste like it. It just tastes like evaporated water.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to. And Jake and I had a hookah when I was a kid, and Jake and I used to sit on my back porch and smoke the hookah, and I remember feeling like, man, like all gnarly when we were done smoking hookah. You know? And that's why, because it's horrendous for you. It's way worse.
So, since when do you think you became more conscious about your health or,
Since I got super fat.
when did that happen?
Since I've been on shore duty.
Right, so like 2 years ago?
Yeah, in the last two years and change, I got super fat and then I got skinny again.
Yes, so he has been doing this intermittent fasting for
six months
now.
Jeez.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
So that's when you consume your last meal and you don't eat for the next 16 hours.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different windows.
Right.
But I think the two easiest beneficial fasts are 12 and 16 hours. Actually, I think it's 13 and 16 hours.
Okay.
Like if you fast for, because somebody said to me at work the other day, they're like, I fast too. I was like, oh, which one do you do? And they're like, oh, you know, I don't eat, or I eat, and then I don't eat again for like 4 hours. I'm like,
and they were
serious, and I was just like, yeah, that's.
That's,
I mean,
just
like
intervals.
I was like, good job, dude. You know, I'm proud of you, but that's not what.
That's
fasting.
Very cute.
But yeah, so I whenever I'm done eating, at night, I have a 16 hours that I don't eat, and it gives me, you know, that's an 8 hour window to eat.
Right.
So, you know, like today, we finished eating dinner. I started my fast at 17:15, and I'll be able to eat again at 09:15 tomorrow.
Right.
And I won't have anything in there except water.
Mm-hmm.
The occasional black coffee.
Yeah. I've been trying that out as well for about a week now. I haven't yet to see any changes in my, you know, with my body or anything. But I'm finding out that it's not as hard as I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I hope to see some positive benefit on my body from the whole fasting thing. But what kind of benefits did you receive from the fast?
Well, immediately, you know, I noticed that the next day when I would wake up, I just felt super light. And I felt really healthy, like if before, you know, we would eat and then I would snack and you were bringing me cereal in bed and I would eat a bao, like, as I'm trying to fall asleep.
And, which is fun.
Yeah, which is super fun. But then I would wake up the next day and I would feel 9,000 pounds.
Yeah, just bloated.
Yeah, absolutely. And just feel, like, just slow to get started and...
Mm-hmm.
And now, when I wake up in the morning, I almost jump out of bed because I'm so light, you know, and I have solid, usable energy to use.
Right.
My body has not kicked into overdrive to just try and put everything into storage. Mm-hmm. I have just energy to burn, you know, and I like that a lot.
Right.
And then, obviously, I started losing weight probably after my first month of fasting, and after I started losing weight, it just... fell off me.
Right.
I mean, I went from, like, in the first week that I started fasting, I think I was like basically 210 pounds, you know? And probably for the first month, I really didn't see much of a change. I actually started to get frustrated and I was like, man, this sucks. Yeah. I'm done with it.
I'm right there.
But then all of a sudden, you know, I woke up one day and I was down like 2 pounds, and then the next day I was down like 5 pounds, and then the next day I was like 190, and then all of a sudden I'm like 170, and I was like, wow, man. So like,
how much do you weigh now?
I was 174 earlier when I weighed myself, but I got all the way down to like 169.8 while you were back home. And
that's about 40 pounds of loss.
Yeah, exactly, 40 pounds, yeah.
Yeah, good job.
And it was effortless, you know, I didn't really have to put in a massive amount of effort, you know, I'm a pretty active person, but I was just as active when I was a fat kid, too, so.
Right, for sure. Yeah, so actually for the same amount of time that you have been doing the fasting, we have been vegetarian or semi-vegetarians, right? So we occasionally do consume meat, but it's a very rare occasion.
Well, lately I've been doing the crabbing thing.
Oh, yeah.
But so when crab season comes around, we knew that we were going to break our vegetarian thing to... Yeah. So that I could go catch some crab and
do
that kind of, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm harvesting it myself, you know.
Yeah, we're doing it. We're just trying out for many different reasons, but we're so far enjoying the journey, and we'll probably get into that in another talk.
Well, and I had some labs done at medical, and my cholesterol was horrendous.
Right.
And that's why I started this whole weight loss thing and the fasting and being a vegetarian and quitting smoking. I went in there to get some medical checkup done, and my cholesterol was just like, my bad cholesterol was super high, and my good cholesterol was like non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, what do I need to do? And they're like, well, you need to probably cut back on red meat and start exercising. And I'm like, yeah, I ride a bike to work every day, a bicycle. Like, I'm a pretty active guy, you know. And so obviously the answer wasn't that I needed more exercise. Mm-hmm. The answer was that I needed to stop consuming 10 pounds of steak every day, probably. Yeah.
Have you had any health checkups?
I haven't. No, I'm actually right in the window now where I'm eligible to get more blood labs done.
Okay.
And actually, the nurse that I saw today for my pre-surg appointment, she told me that it's going to be awesome that I need to go. She said that I need to go get my labs done and come let her know how they changed, because she was super curious.
Yeah, I'm excited to find out the results as well. But yeah, so... I hope this surgery will go well.
Yeah, thank you.
That it won't take so 6 hours.
Well, you'll be taking care of me anyway. Whether it goes good or it goes terribly, you're stuck with it.
Of course, I will nurse you back to health like I always do.
Thank you.
And so, yeah, hopefully he'll just take just a little bit of painkiller afterwards.
He'll not be taking any painkillers.
Yeah, he's very stubborn, but yeah, I'll be supporting him. And very interesting talk. Thank you. Hey, that was good. Thank you.
How long was that?
34.
Did it keep recording while it was locked?
Yeah, it does. 34.